Let's pray. Most gracious God, bless the thoughts of our hearts and the words of my lips. Help us to grow in faith and in love, that we may be pleasing to you and a blessing to others. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And when Jesus had been baptized, just he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." Over the past week, I've been captivated by these words that the voice from heaven spoke over Jesus. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." In particular, the word beloved has haunted my thoughts as I've reflected on these passages. What does it mean to be beloved? Who is beloved? Who are the beloved? After Christmas and the birth at Bethlehem, there's another beginning in the life of Jesus, and it's marked by baptism and this opening of heaven in the affirmation of Jesus. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." This beginning, the encounter with John, with the Jordan, with the water, with the voice from heaven, is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Mark and Luke, the voice that is heard by Jesus is more personal than it is in Matthew. The voice from heaven doesn't proclaim to all what God thinks about the young man standing dripping wet before John. Rather, in Mark and Luke, it speaks directly to Jesus. "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." What powerful words of affirmation. What a way to begin a new stage of life. What a way to feel before setting out on a new venture. What a thing to know from the very beginning, before anything special has been undertaken, before anything special has been begun. What a word to carry with you into the light of a new day. We all know affirmation is important. To affirm means to assert the truth of something, particularly the truth in regard to the value of something. To affirm something means to value it. What's the currency of value in the story of Jesus' baptism? The currency is love. "You are the beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased." I remember as a child longing to hear words of affirmation from my parents. And yes, I did hear words of love. And I think we all long to be praised, to be valued, to be affirmed. Without such words and acts of affirmation, life is very sterile. We shrivel up. We find it hard to grow. Find it hard to reach out. Potential. A lack of affirmation is like a plant without enough water. It might grow, but it grows in distorted ways. It takes a lot of strength to grow beyond the limitations. All of us long for affirmation, but too often it seems that those words come too late. They come after we accomplish something. They come after we've faced some foe and triumphed. They come after we've arrived at a destination, after a difficult journey. We're affirmed for what we achieve, not for who we are, not for our inherent value. Sadly, affirmation comes only when we've proved ourselves worthy. Such is the way in many of our lives, in many families. But praise be to God, God's affirmation is very different. The whole story of Jesus' ministry begins with affirmation. Even before Jesus has any idea what God had in store for him, even before Jesus has told a single story, even before he has healed a single person, even before he has spoken even one wise word, God speaks, "You are my beloved son. With you I'm well pleased." While Jesus is yet coming forth from the water, before Jesus has taught one lesson, before he's called one disciple, "You are my beloved son." Goes without saying that this is a significant moment in the story of Jesus' ministry. Significant moment in Jesus' life as a whole. It's a significant for Jesus, and if we apply the meaning of this moment to ourselves, as God means us to do, it's significant for us. We think of our own experiences of giving and receiving affirmation, and it usually comes after having done something well. In this case, however, Jesus has done nothing to merit the words of love and respect that God grants him when he says, "You are my beloved son." This is the cornerstone of grace. This is what it means to be a beloved child of God. Not for what we've done, not because of anything we've achieved, but because of the value that God finds in every one of us, in every human being. The reality of being the beloved of God is affirmed in Jesus' baptism. Jesus was beloved of God long before this baptism. But at this point, it's made visible and manifest. It's shown forth. And that's what epiphany means. It's shown forth. What was always there, this enduring love of God for his son. This is also our reality, that every human person is a beloved child of God. As Christians, we believe that in baptism, this reality is shown forth. It's named, it's claimed. But from the moment of our conception, God affirms us. God values us. God claims us as beloved. This is what our baptism, our profession of faith, is all about. Reminding ourselves and our children and our community that every human being is of infinite value to God. All are beloved of God. Since the day that Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, baptism became a sign, a symbol, if you will, of God's unconditional love for us. In baptism, by the promises of support and nurture, by the water of new creation, by the faith we profess, by the action of God, we are marked as God's beloved forever. Leaving aside any words of repentance, leaving aside any talk of sin and forgiveness, baptism is an act which celebrates the inherent value that God has placed upon us. It's an act which we rejoice over. The fact that we and whoever has come forward for baptism are already loved by God. They're already creations of God. They're already special children of God. A God who says to us, as he said to our Lord, "You are my daughters, my sons. You are my beloved. With you I'm well pleased." God's love always remains unconditional. It always affirms us. It always nurtures us. It always calls us forth to live in love. As Jesus at his baptism was affirmed as the beloved of God before he had done anything or of anything that we are given an account, from that moment his ministry and mission began, and Jesus lived into the identity that God had given him as the beloved. We're also the beloved of God. The opportunity is there for every person to claim the unconditional love of God and live into that identity and all that it means. If you're anything like me, the last months, especially the time since New Year, has most likely been an experience of intense and diverse emotions, as we've seen the fires flame up across our nation. I've watched the TV with tears streaming down my face as I've heard people tell their stories of loss and grief. I've cried as I've begun to realise the massive scale of the destruction of the animals and the environment. At times I've been angry at what I perceived as a lack of leadership and compassion and foresight and preparation from our national leaders. At times I've been fascinated by the sheer scale and magnitude of what has happened. A sense of awe at the massive ferocity of the fires. At times I've been in denial, trying to believe that this is just a once-in-a-lifetime event and things will go back to normal. And then I get caught in deep dread when the awareness dawns on me that things will never be the same again. There is something at the deepest level of our existence that's fundamentally changed forever. I've had this growing sense that somehow, in the face of what's happened, I need to live with more integrity. I need to match what I really believe to what I do from day to day. How I use my resources. How I live on this planet. What it really means to walk with deep awareness of being an occupant of a fragile and damaged planet. I don't want this sense of urgency to wear off when the winter rains come. I don't want to go back to business as normal. I know there's huge changes that now have to happen to the structures of our world economy, to how we use resources, to how we develop technology. But I feel that I have to do something. Within the smallness of my world, as best I can, somehow I have to live differently in light of what's happened and what's become all too clear. You may think I've wandered far from our passage, far from Jesus being baptized, a long way from the Jordan, a long way even from the love of God. But as I was reflecting during the week on what we've been through as a nation, and as this word beloved was turning over and over in my mind, I couldn't help but think of words that were similar that Martin Luther King Jr. used when he talked about the beloved community. See, Luther King Jr. had this vision of not the church, but the whole world as a beloved community. It came out of his understanding of God's grace. That grace, that grace story that we all know so well, That God's love for us is unconditional. That God offers his love before we've even done anything. And that God loves us with an infinite love. But he reflects that so often we take that as our personal story. And Martin Luther King Jr. turned it around. He said, what if the vision of society is not focused on God loving me, but every time I see a neighbour, I realise that in that person is this infinite value that God has put on them. That every human being is beloved of God. But rather than focus on how God touches us, he invited us to consider a world, a different world, a world that he dreamed of. That amazing speech, I have a dream. When the relationship between people would be shaped by a deep awareness that the person in front of me on the street, beside me on the train, interacting with me in the shop, was beloved of God. That every person was loved by God because not of what they'd done or failed to do, not because of what they'd achieved or failed to achieve, not because of some physical attribute like race or ability, but because in God's eyes, every person is loved with an infinite love, a love beyond measure. How would we live, relate, share, exchange, if we live with that kind of consciousness? That's what Martin Luther King Jr. envisaged as the beloved community. That each would look on the other as a beloved son and daughter of God. Maybe we can claim that sense of the beloved not just for our human community, but maybe for our relationship with God's creation. God commanded, and it was, and God said it was good. What would it be like to live in creation aware that what God has made is good? That what God has made also participates in God's love? How would we live if we really cultivated a deep awareness that the natural world was also beloved of God? As God's affirmation of Jesus came at the beginning, and Jesus through his mission and ministry lived into what God had already affirmed, you are my beloved son, with you I'm well pleased. So also we're affirmed from the very beginning as beloved of God. An affirmation that will never change, no matter what choices we make. God never will stop loving us. But we're invited to live into what it means to be the beloved of God. The love we've received must empower us to share love with others. The value that we know that God's placed on our lives, we must recognize that value in every other person we meet. The goodness of creation that God has affirmed as also beloved of God. How can it penetrate us and change how we live when we look out on a world beloved of God? I'm not sure we have to change personally in grand ways. We can keep on doing what we've always done. But a new awareness that all that God's given us is beloved of God. Every person that comes into our life is beloved of God must certainly change how we live, how we greet the world, how we greet others. We're going to do something special this morning. There's something that's happened in North Ringwood long before I ever came here. A I think Derek was one of the innovators, and many other people have over the years been a part of North Ringwood Care. It's fulfilled a role. It's given food to those without food, financial guidance to those who get their bills messed up and get beyond themselves, being able to support themselves. We've always done it. It's a good thing to do. We don't need to stop doing it. We need to affirm it. But what is starting today? Everyone who comes through the door, we recognise them as part of the beloved community. This person who's walked through the door is beloved of God. If I think that God loves me with an unconditional, infinite love, how much more this person who's walked into our building, who I've never met, who I don't know, who's a stranger, but even before they say anything, I know they are beloved by God. For me, the struggle with how our world has obviously changed and the grief and the loss that's happened through the fires is, how can I find new eyes to look at the world in ways that might begin to heal it? How can I look out on the world and know that the people, the koalas, the kangaroos, the habitat, the trees, all that God has made is good. All that God has made is beloved. All that God has made is yearning for redemption.